Now, I suppose all of us are doing the whatever reading of the scriptures we've chosen, but for us, we've been looking in the book of Jeremiah. It's a very complex book. Jeremiah was an outstanding prophet, a man very faithful, but he suffered a lot because of his faithfulness. So as I was reading in the studies in Jeremiah for ourselves, I thought, what message could I get from Jeremiah that would fit our situation now? And maybe this little passage of scripture is very common to you. Maybe you know more about it than even I do. But look with me at Jeremiah chapter 9. Verse 23. It reads, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord." Now it talks about three levels of living. We're all engaged in this wonderful life that God has given to us. As believers in the Lord Jesus, I'm talking to a very mature group of people. Some of you have followed the Lord for years. Some of you are younger in the faith. There are these three areas of our lives that should stimulate us in our worship of God. First of all, I think most of us want to be wise. I wasn't here for the third chapter of James, and probably that was covered in that chapter, wisdom that comes from God. But as I was growing up as a believer, I wanted to stimulate my mind. I wanted to read, I wanted to discuss. I didn't want to lose my curiosity. Now, some of you are limited in what you can do. We want to stimulate our minds. It's good to be together as His people. It's good to listen to the voice of God. But we want to keep ourselves thinking, asking questions. I suppose that's one of the reasons why I've been reading through Jeremiah. I haven't read through Jeremiah in years. I don't read through the Bible every year, but I wanted to stimulate my mind as a believer. When you get knowledge, when you learn something new, whether you're going to school or doing everyday living, and you grasp onto something powerful as thinking, reasoning, discerning, a problem comes. Years ago, when I was working in the French work, we would go to the English meeting from time to time. And it was a young Italian young man who enjoyed our ministry. And he wanted me to get together with another believer, another young man in the meeting. And the young man didn't want to come to hear me at all. And the reason why he didn't want to come, he said, "That guy doesn't know as much the Bible as I do." far ahead in my thinking. And he was a young man. And so what, why do you want me to meet with a man who doesn't think as well as I do? The danger is, when you grasp a truth or discern something in life itself, you may glory in that. You may think of yourself as better. Well, I know we have three wonderful elders, and this session they had on the book of James was outstanding. I think of Ryan. Ryan, if you don't mind my just making a comment. Ryan is what I call a talker preacher, and he's very good with visuals. Dennis is a preacher's preacher, and I like him on the platform. He has visuals. But as a preacher's preacher, the expression that he gives is, in my mind, better than the visuals. But you have two different individuals with different traits, different abilities, and they're doing a wonderful job of teaching and meeting along with Robert. Well, Robert can always depend as an elder and giving a word that will honor the Lord. But the danger is, not for these three men, but it's sometimes when you have a place of power, not the mighty man, glory in his might, you turn a deaf ear. You think you know it all. You think you're doing the best. So you learn. I learn. As a missionary in Quebec, working with the French Canadians, we did the very best we could in teaching the Word of God. But you get comments. And some of the comments open your eyes and say, maybe you're not doing the best job. You better sharpen up. Never be satisfied with what's been done, but keep improving, keep moving on. But I think we're going to be healthy about this. We shouldn't let criticism keep us from moving forward. I said, let not the mighty man glory in his might. I think deep down, we all should aspire to being mighty men and women of God. But not to the point where we make the might the glory of our lives. It's funny we'd be saying this. We're talking about having wisdom, thinking clearly, improving our judgment, studying, asking questions, but we don't make that the glory of our life. It's part of our life. It's part of living. It's part of being a believer, moving forward. Well, none of us would identify totally with let the rich man not glory in his riches. But let me put it this way, to make it understandable for all of us. We want to be good stewards with the money that God has helped us to have. You know, we think of our ministry, Living by Faith, and Carolyn and myself decided that we wouldn't ask for money. We'd look to the Lord to provide for us. Well, we're both school teachers. But we said this before the Lord when we went to Quebec. We will not, if money runs out, we will not go back to school teach and do missionary work. If the money runs out for our conviction, then you leave the work and go back to your secular life. But we know of missionaries who have gone and they don't have the money, and so they work. We had people in the French work. We didn't believe that. To live by faith was what we wanted to do. So, why am I saying this? Well, we were looking to the Lord to provide for our means. Now, what I cannot do is glory in the fact that we were never in need and live and boast about that. We don't want to boast about our intelligence. We don't want to boast about our might. We don't want to boast about our riches. Or do we know how to boast? Do we know what that means? So in this matter of being mighty, we want to keep ourselves in good shape. We want to make sure that our body functions properly. We want to eat properly. Now we know of a dear sister in the Lord who's in the health business. The problem is, this particular dear sister knows it all. You got to be careful. Knows it all. Now, some would say to have a good, healthy body, you should do this kind of a workout, eat this kind of a food. Yes, that might be right and fine, but you don't have to boast about it. And this is very hard for human nature, because they're taught in the schools today that you are the most important person in the world, and you should shine, and you should give yourself all the credit in the world. But we as believers, we realize that we belong to someone else. Yes, we want to be wise, but we don't want to boast about that. Yes, we want to be strong, but we don't want to boast about that. Yes, we want to have enough to live. We want to be good stewards of what money God gives to us, or the money that we make. And some of you are doing a very good job. You're good business people. Maybe you're in the teaching or homework, whatever. But we don't want to boast in these things. But let him who glories glory in this. That he understands and knows me. Now, I've been a believer for many years. So has my wife. We want to serve the Lord. We want to honor him. We want to know him. Well, we here in this group of believers have a wonderful meeting, the breaking of bread. And the Lord Jesus actually wants us to pay attention to him. He wants us to put our thoughts upon him. He wants us to meditate on him. He wants us to understand and know him. Yahweh wanted his people to know him, to understand him. This is the wonder of the Lord that saved us. He's given us the ability to understand and know him. He's helped us in the wisdom that he provides to discern his character, to his person, his position. There's no greater calling for any of us as believers. No greater desire than to know and understand our Lord God. But our Lord God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we grow up together, we share together, we think together, and together we seek to understand the three persons of the Godhead. I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. This is why it is so important for us to meet together. Some of you may be meditating on God the Father. Others of you may be meditating on God the Son. Others may be thinking about the Holy Spirit. And as a group together, the many become one in Christ. And we take all that we know and all that we experience and we share it. And God is doing things in your life. The Father is speaking to you in ways that he hasn't spoken to me. And I gain understanding of who he is through knowing you. We know each other. So we're grateful that God, though we're limited in our wisdom, in our might, in our wealth, in our stewardship, he still says to us, as a group of believers, as the body of Christ, that we may understand and know him. That I am the Lord. And then he talks about three things about himself. This is the beauty of God. He expects us to grasp the meaning of these words, the meaning of these qualities, characteristics. Exercising loving kindness. Well, this only has meaning to us as we deal with the Lord himself in our own lives, with our own families, in this pandemic, where you are, in your apartment, in your home. Are we experiencing his loving kindness? You know, if you're alone, and you haven't got your partner or your family, and you're alone, sometimes you may miss his acts of tenderness towards you in caring for you. You know, we rest our head on our pillows at night. I know this is what I say. Thank you, Lord, for this bedroom, this bed, the quietness, the darkness, the covers, pajamas. The ability to go to sleep peacefully. You're taking care of us in our retirement years. I just turned 88. And I think of his care. I know there are a lot of people, I'm not trying to overemphasize one point over another. A lot of Even God's children are suffering. I understand that. But we need to show appreciation. I need to show appreciation to the Lord God and his loving kindness in the little things of life. I know that He sent his son. The Father sent the son. The son died on the cross for my sins, our sins. And we thank him for that. But he provides for us. He gives us insights to his person. He stimulates our mind and our emotions. He's a fair God. He exercises judgment. He helps us to discern what is really right and what is wrong. Not to trouble us. Someone has said the closer we get to knowing the Lord, the more upset we become with our shortcomings. The more revealing become the sins of our lives. Well, someone says, let's stay far away then. We stay far away, we won't get upset, and we can do what we want. No. There's something about the Christian life that's just wonderful. And it's this, we never get enough of him. We can never get enough of his grace and his wisdom, as his loving kindness, his judgment. In a way, it like John when he was in the upper room with our Lord Jesus. He was resting his head on his bosom. We don't want to be far away. We don't want God shouting at us to try to find us. We want to be transparent. We want to be treated, we want to treat him with dignity, because he always treats us with such dignity. And that's the righteousness in the earth. Doing what is right. And what he's saying here, what Jeremiah is saying here, is the Lord has so transformed him and us, is that we're getting to learn to appreciate who he is and what he has done. Now, Paul the Apostle, had some very interesting things to say about this passage. It must have been on his mind when he writes these words. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 26. Well, think of the passage we just been looking at. And here is this wonderful man of God, saved by God's grace, teaching. Verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, but not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. And no flesh to glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Now, even in God's great wisdom, he sent his son into the world to save sinners. The world has a sophistication, has its own little thoughts, its own little centers of importance. The Lord Jesus came humbly, born in a manger, walked as a carpenter's son, owned no land, nothing but the clothes on his back. He seemed to be a nobody, a nothing. This is all the wisdom of God. I'm going to read verse 30 from another translation, the New Living Translation. It's just a bit different. There are those scholars who, when looking at verse 30, are saying this is not a verse about the glory of Christ. This is a verse about what Christ did at the cross. God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. What Jesus did at the cross has made it possible for us to live godly lives, pure lives. He's freed us to appreciate himself. And he's done it in such a way that is overpowering, awesome, takes your breath away, that the God of the universe would come into the world and send his son, through his son, to redeem nothingness, to become something. People who are nobodies to become his children. People who can't attain have become able by his power to love, to serve, to worship. Now here's the point. If we have the right to glory in the Lord, I'm going to talk to the men of the meeting for a moment here. Please don't hesitate at the breaking of bread. With the fruit of your lips, the fruit of your lips, to worship the Lord Jesus. We can glorify the Lord God together. We want to glory in the Lord because he has made it possible for us to do so. So let's be careful that we do. Don't glory in riches. Don't glory in things, in might. Don't glory in wisdom. Don't glory in self. But he who glories, then glory in the Lord. Let's pray. Our lives have changed in a wonderful way, Lord God. For some of us, all we knew was what this life had to offer. We had nothing. We were nobodies. We sinned. We were helpless. We were without hope, we were without God. And then in a wonderful way, you sent your Son to be our Savior. And John could say we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And for those of us, all of us who know and love you, Lord, you've changed our life. You've given us thoughts and feelings we never knew we had or never had until we met you, until we were able to praise your name and honor you and speak of you to those in need of your love. And then you brought us all into the family of God to enjoy each other's fellowship and to honor you together. It is our prayer, our Heavenly Father, that if we're going to glory, oh dear God, help us to glory in the Lord. We give you thanks, dear God, in your precious name.